Chapter 64, Excellence of a Grateful Rich Man. Allah the Exalted says, "As for him who gives in charity and keeps his duty to Allah and fears him and believes in Al-Husna, we will make smooth for him the path of ease, goodness." 92:5-7. And Al-Muttaqun, the pious and righteous, will be far removed from it, hell. He who spends his wealth for increase in self-purification, and who has in mind no favor from anyone to be paid back, except to seek the countenance of his Rabb, the Most High. He surely will be pleased when he will enter Jannah. 92:17-21. If you disclose your sadaqat, almsgiving, it is well. But if you conceal them and give them to the poor, that is better for you. Allah will expiate you some of your sins, and Allah is well acquainted with what you do. 2:271. By no means shall you attain al-bir, piety, righteousness. Here it means Allah's reward, i.e. Jannah, unless you spend in Allah's cause of that which you love, and whatever of good you spend, Allah knows it well. 392. 571. Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu reported, "The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, envy is permitted only in two cases, a man whom Allah gives wealth, and he disposes of it rightfully, and a man to whom Allah gives knowledge, which he applies and teaches it." Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. This hadith has already been mentioned, yet its relevance with this chapter has prompted us to repeat it here. It lays emphasis on two points. First, if Allah gives wealth to a man, his sense of gratitude should be expressed in his spending it in good ways according to the divine command. Second, if Allah has endowed somebody with knowledge and wisdom, he should be thankful to his Rabb by way of putting it into practice and by imparting it to others. It means one can aspire for knowledge and richness, provided one's motive is to benefit others. Envy is a bad quality, which Muslims must shun. In this hadith, however, envy or ghibta refers to the feeling of wishing to have what somebody else has, or to be like somebody else without these blessings be taken away from the envied person. 572. Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma reported, "The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, envy is justified in regard to two types of persons only, a man whom Allah has given knowledge of the Quran, and so he recites it during the night and during the day, and a man whom Allah has given wealth, and so he spends from it during the night and during the day." Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. A hadith permit us to envy, in the positive sense of the word, see commentary on the previous hadith, only two traits of character of somebody. Grammatically, the text of these ahadith imply both feminine and masculine genders. In the preceding hadith, the word knowledge has been used. It stands for the word of Allah. To apply and teach knowledge means to put into practice the teachings of the Quran, and that includes the recitation of the Quran, both in salat and otherwise, impart its teaching and passing judgments in its light. From this point of view, both the ahadith convey the similar tense, and similarly, we may also read into them two persons or two traits of character. 573. Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu reported, "Some of the poor emigrants came to the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, and said to him, 'The wealthy have obtained all high ranks and everlasting bliss.' He asked, 'How is that?' They replied, 'They offer salat, as we do, and observe psalm, fasting, as we do, but they give in sadaqah, charity, and we do not, and they emancipate slaves, and we cannot.' He, peace be upon him, said, 'Shall I not teach you something whereby you will catch up with those who have preceded you, and will get ahead of those who follow you, and no one will surpass you unless he does the same as you do?' They said, 'Surely, O Messenger of Allah.' He said, 'Say, Subhanallah and Allahu Akbar, and praise him by saying Alhamdulillah 33 times at the end of every salat.' They returned to him and said, 'Our brothers, the possessors of wealth, having heard what we are doing, have started doing the same.' The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, 'This is the grace of Allah which he gives to whom he wishes.'" Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Commentary. The wording of the hadith apparently reveals that Subhanallah, glory be to Allah, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, and Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest, should be recited 33 times. If each group of words is said 11 times, the total number will become 33. But Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar believes that each formula should be uttered 33 times, that is to say, after each prayer, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, and Allahu Akbar should be uttered 33 times each. But according to some ahadith, Imam An-Nawawi is of the view that Allahu Akbar should be said 34 times, and in the end, La ilaha illallahu wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. None has the right to be worshipped but Allah. He is one. He has no partners. To Him belongs the dominion and all the praise, and He has the power over all things, should be recited. Should we recite them together or separately? Al-Qadi Iyad is of the opinion that it is better to recite them separately, but Imam An-Nawawi is of the view that both ways are correct. In fact, in both ways the number remains the same. Besides, in addition, must not be made to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him. Practically, we knew that it is necessary to use the prescription of a physician without making any alteration in its elements, otherwise it will not work properly. Similarly, there are spiritual benefits, blessings, and efficacy in the number told by the Prophet, peace be upon him. Any alteration in it will nullify its blessing and efficacy. Fath al-Bari. This hadith reveals how fervently the companions were inclined towards good and how concerned about surpassing those who are better than them in some forms of good deeds. Indeed, all Muslims are equal with regard to the practice of religious principles. But what gives an edge to the rich over their poor co-religionists are the financial forms of worship, that is, charity and almsgiving, which the latter are unable to do.